FNR, Football Nation Radio. Ladies and gentlemen,
the 48 Soccer Show.
Hold the back page, hold the front page.
Breathtakingly brilliant. That's astonishing. It's absolutely world class.
The 48ers on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
G'day everyone and welcome to the 48ers here on FNR, Football Nation Radio. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you on this fine, wherever you may be, Monday afternoon. I know we get replayed, so it's a fine, whatever the next day is. Vinny Venezuela, welcome to you.
It's a fine moment in time. Thank you very much, Rodrigo. Great to be here. Hello, listeners.
Yes, nice to have you along. Warren, good to see you.
Yes, Rodrigo, I was escorted into the building tonight by a group of stormtroopers just looking to channel Melbourne City players yesterday. And can I say the force was with me the whole way.
The force was with you?
It was there the whole way.
They weren't very good. You got up. And Carlos, how are you going today?
I'm very, very well. It's a fine Australian Eastern Standard Time.
No, that's true. Thank you.
Like if it's Perth now, it'd be fine brunch.
Yeah, that's true.
And if it's Queensland, well, they're an hour behind, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Australian Eastern it's a fine Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Well, we hope it's a fine day wherever you may
be. Yeah, of course.
Yes, I was going to say, that's a big step for you just to use the word fine, considering we're talking about 27 time zones and whatever else. It's got to be crappy weather somewhere in Australia right now.
When the Diego's is on,
it's true.
Sunshine all around the world.
Correct.
It's a lot of sunshine in the studio tonight, by the way. hey, we'd love to hear from you.
Call it daylight saving.
That's true. I'm used to the dark, actually. There's a lot of sun just streaming into the studio. Hey, talk back tonight. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Lots of stuff going on in the A-League and in any league, in the EPL. I know Warren doesn't want us to talk about it because there's the EPL show after this, but 03-9944-9999. That is the number. And if you call us tonight, we'll give you, to the best caller anyway, or maybe every caller, a panettone, a traditional fruit panettone with thanks to our great friends at Ital. And it's butter-enriched, Vinny.
Butter-enriched. Can I just say, I did have that and my cardiologist sort of rushed over to my house immediately to rip it out of my hands. Yeah. And we fought because it was that good.
Give us a call, 9944-9999, or send us a text message because you can still do that, or you can do that, on 0428-933-345. We'd love to hear from you and we'll read that out on air when you send it. Hey, guys, big A-League round just finished, obviously, the Sydney Derby. It was an absolute shellacking.
It wasn't a derby.
It is the Sydney Derby.
It was a... No.
So what do you call it? Sydney Derby?
It was the Sydney Pedestrian Crossing, really. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, Joseph Gombau...
Are you making a call?
I'm making
the Melbourne Derby is bigger than the Sydney Derby?
No, I'm making a call that
Are you making a call that the M3 Derby is bigger than the Sydney Derby?
I'll tell you one thing, I will say.
It's your neck of the woods. Is it M3 or F3 or M1?
A freeway gives you the impression that cars actually flow on it, Carlos. It's a road. And the sooner they knock down that Olympic Stadium and build something to replace it, it's got about as much atmosphere as, I don't know, it's just very ordinary. And Joseph Gombau, I'm calling it.
It was made for people like you who like a lot of leg room.
Yeah, it's very ordinary.
You just spread out.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good. But Joseph Gombau needs to take a good hard look at himself.
Is it the end of the Tiki-Taka dream?
It is the end of the Tiki-Taka. Can you call time on yourself? Can you call time on yourself before it starts?
He was questioned about his team selections.
Mm-hmm.
He was. By the way, we're talking about Western Sydney Wanderers being beaten 5-0.
That's true, Carlos. I was just about to say all of that.
Even though we are talking to a football audience really we're telling them to suck in.
Is that beaten or demolished? You know,
demolition.
Yeah, it's demolition. Yeah, it's a clean-up.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing worse was Germany v Brazil, the 7-1.
Absolutely.
That's embarrassingly
big. So the questions were asked of Josip Gombau in the press conference, and, you know, he kept pretty much a straight face. Don't panic. Don't pick the boys. Don't pick on the boys because it's not their fault. He was taking full responsibility, and this is what he said in the press conference after the game.
Well, they say that it'll go wrong. Sounds crazy, but it's what I say to the players now, and it's what I am honest and I need to say. No, for me, the players are trying to do what the coach is asking that they do. I assume all the responsibility of this big loss. That is a loss that I assume that is a big one, and I want to send my apologies to all the fans that this night come to support our team. But for me, the team, I am watching things that are improvements in what in the way that we want to play. Today it sounds like this man, what is he saying? No, but they are trying to do the, and to play the football that that I am asking to do, to play. And I said to the players, I can say anything to any player. They just are following instructions, and I assume the responsibility.
There's Josip Gombau with thanks to Fox Sports.
Sure, it wasn't Jose Mourinho.
It did sound. No, he sounds like a Spanish cousin.
Absolutely.
Definitely. He's saying it. It's his responsibility. He apologised to the Sydney fans.
Yep.
There were 36,433 of them. That's why it might have sounded a bit, you know, cavernous to you, Warren. But what did you make of that?
Was that the loss they had to have?
Oh, I mean, they've had, what, four or five
amongst the others.
I mean, the Sergeant Schultz defence from Joseph Gombau in terms of I see nothing wrong with what's going on.
No, he's saying if that he's seeing things. He's just not, you know, they're on their way.
Yeah.
If
he's
Warren.
Going to take responsibility, you take it early in your tenure.
That's true.
You don't take responsibility later when there's a chance of being sacked. I think, look, he's a brave man. I mean, he's come in, he's stuck by his, if you listen to the full press conference, he said, this is the way I operate. It's almost a touch of Ange Postecoglou. This is what I do. This is how I've been told I could come in and do this, and I'll stick by my guns. So if he gets sacked early, well, I think that's Western Sydney Wanderers. That's that's poor by their owners to be able to do that, because I think they've obviously brought him in change the culture of the club, and they've got to live with that now. Mm. I mean, it was ugly. The players don't have faith in what he's doing, but those players won't necessarily be there at the time of the finished product. He'll be moving people on in January, bringing other people in. It's amazing how they completely are moving away from the whole Popovich type influence on that club, and I think they had to, because he was the only constant really from day one. And I think they just want to move right away from that. I'm actually surprised they've still got Hayden Fox there.
He would have had a conversation. You know, you don't have faith, but that's okay, because you're going to go. It's all right. Your time is numbered here.
Yeah, yeah. You sound like Isaias there.
Spanish.
That's Isaias.
Jeez. Well, maybe I was showing everyone Spain.
They've shared a change room, Carlos. So
true.
I'll make a big call here. Huh? Western Sydney Wanderers will not make finals until they're playing back at Parramatta. I don't care whether
the Heartland.
It's a stupid call.
No, it's a stupid call.
You've got to make it anyway.
Until they're back in their Heartland, they won't make finals. Like, I don't care whether they're playing.
This is not an 18-team competition.
I don't care if they're playing Route 1 or Tick Attacker.
You win a couple in a row, you're in the six.
Yeah. No.
Really?
Don't care whether it's Route 1
really
or not.
That's got to be close to the worst comment.
Well, is that recorded? Is this recorded?
Yeah, of course.
Carlos,
it's recorded.
You know, you've been, you know, at the throbbing pulse of dressing rooms.
I have.
You know, when coaches have got their back to the wall.
You have been a throbbing pulse at a change.
With the emphasis on pulse.
And does he go one-on-one with some of the players and saying, listen, you know, you're sort of doing what I want you to do, but you're not really doing. You know, yeah. I want you to embrace me
Can
now.
Can you tell us what he's saying?
I want you to embrace. It'll come. I want you to embrace me. Embrace me now.
Yes.
And my vision. You're not embracing my vision.
He would have a whiteboard at home. He would have a whiteboard at home with a list of players, right? And
do you bring the player in saying, you're on my whiteboard?
No.
Look.
The decision has been made. There's some players who just won't adapt.
Right. So will he just look players in the eye and just go?
No. He's just got the whiteboard at home.
Tick, you know what I'm saying?
He's written in black texter the name of the player, and in red texter the line through it.
See you later.
So he knows who he's got to move on. He's got to try and move him on in January.
So it's waiting game time for Josip Gombau.
Yeah,
he's just waiting.
But how much damage gets done to the brand of Western Sydney Wanderers in the meantime?
I mean, no damage.
No damage at all.
No.
If you're a Western Sydney Wanderers fan, give us a call. 9944 9999. Even if you're not a Western Sydney Wanderers fan, give us a call.
They're
Tell
not
us
going
your
until they get back to Parramatta.
They've been going for 6 years?
Yep.
6 years? And they've had a pretty good run for 6 years, haven't they?
I have.
Okay. This is their first sign of any failure at all. And it's only four games. So he could end up getting it right by the end of the season. This is not a problem. Nothing wrong with the brand, Rodrigo. Until they go back, by the way, until they go back to the stadium, that's when they can really release the brand. But it's not going to make any difference between where they make the finals or not, that's for sure.
Because they won't.
Early on in the season, they've had a couple of games where they didn't win, but they played pretty good football. So it was kind of like you knew that they were moving on from the Popovic era. So it's a war of attrition, I suspect.
But how greedy is Graeme Arnold?
I was going to say, what about Sydney FC here? I mean, they could have scored eight. This could have been 8-0.
Well, Graeme wouldn't have been happy there. He said it should have been double.
What did Graeme Arnold have to say, Carlos?
I could see it in the faces. I could see it in the eyes of the boys this week. You know, we weren't happy with our performance against Adelaide. And as I said, you know, we worked very hard on, you know, every aspect of the game and, you know, getting the right messages into the subconscious mind and the brain and making sure that we teach them how to win. And there's a lot of belief in that group. There's a lot of belief in what we do as a team and as a group. And at the end of the day, the one negative is you should have scored another five.
Oh, that's Graeme Arnold.
That's greedy.
Thanks to Fox Sports.
You know, in Star Wars Week, he got Yoda in to channel their subconscious mind. I mean, come on, Graeme. Loosen up. Enjoy. He's focused. Played really well. We had a good time. We played good football. We're going well. The players, let's individualise.
It's deeper than that, Warren.
He did
it's
well.
It's deeper than that.
Bobo, I love him. I love Bobo.
No, it's deeper than that. It's secrets of success that he can't divulge to anyone. In fact, do you notice he's actually just whispering in the press conference so no one listens?
He's channeling their subconscious minds.
Did we cut out the bit after that where he says, and if I was Socceroo coach?
Or when I'm Socceroo.
When I'm Socceroo. Because that's all. This is like a pre-interview now.
Yeah. You know, he's taken it completely over the top as far as I'm concerned. There is no joy in the game with Graeme Arnold. I mean, Graeme Arnold and Kevin Muscat might as well find themselves onto a desert island because as far as I'm aware, there is no joy in the game. When we win, we don't celebrate. When we lose, we don't commiserate. We just move on. Can we have some joy in
but
the game?
What was wrong with what he said, Warren? He was just saying we could have had five more. He can't.
But I want him to interview Vinny. Good show today.
Oh,
well done. You want praise.
Know,
you say his voice is really good. You know, keep working on that.
The problem with you, Warren, is that you celebrate any wins you've had in your life really, really strong. You, Daryl Braithwaite and horses.
Oh, no.
The minute you have a good show, that's on.
It's
and you're singing it away.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well.
You know, you get brought back down to earth the following week pretty quickly.
He wants to keep a lid on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, coaches, guys, Kevin Muscat's Melbourne Victory lost to Adelaide United on Friday night at Etihad Stadium. So 2-1 it was in the end. So, I mean, is Kevin Muscat under pressure?
Well,
he truly
controls the media in Melbourne. No one wants to take him on. And this is his performance after the game, after losing to nine men, Adelaide United on Friday.
It's just, a couple of moments of, lapse of concentration because, again, we give ourselves a mount in the climb, with lapse of concentration. Someone's 6-7 yards out on a set piece, with a free header. So that's nothing else but, concentration. And we have an opportunity, obviously, to score from the penalty spot. And we don't. And then, when it seems like we've got all the ascendancy in the game, we're, making all the attack, making all the play, getting forward, creating chances, we get a deserved goal and a very good goal. And then again, just a lapse of concentration, we fall into a false sense of security because we get the equaliser. And just the understanding of what got us the equaliser, we don't maintain. We we're not as aggressive. The ball, we're allowing crosses to come in, and they've got a body in the box, and no one's marking him. So again, just a lapse of concentration, and give yourself another mountain to climb.
There's Kevin Muscat with thanks to Fox Sport. At least he blamed the players.
Tell you what, they're climbing a lot of mountains, They're climbing a lot of mountains. Maybe he needs to get Yoda in, to deal with those lapses of concentration.
The word of the week will be concentration.
Concentration.
The whiteboard, concentration, the T-shirts, concentrate.
But so he's clearly blaming the players, isn't he? He didn't name names, but he's clearly blaming them.
Well, he did mention in that press conference, he mentioned the missed penalty.
The missed penalty.
And there can't be one player that missed the penalty.
Carlos, sorry. The data continues to come in on strikers taking penalties. He should have given it to Milligan, who also takes penalties and doesn't or rarely misses them. And then, by the way, before we just go back to that conversation, the goal by Mark Milligan was...
It was a cracking goal.
Beautiful goal.
Look, since week one of this season, we've 10 rounds done and dusted. Since week one, when they haven't got the result, it's always been lack of concentration. We're on top of the opposition. We completely dominated the game.
And we've given ourselves a mountain to climb.
Absolutely, because we just we let ourselves down. We've got to take responsibility too, all that sort of stuff. And I've got to say, Muskie is the master of manipulating that media. There's not too many people who follow up and talk about, well, it's been 10 weeks... And this lapse of concentration is happening every game.
Are you taking responsibility, Kevin? Something like that.
Well,
they don't come back.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're too far away from that because obviously the fans are feeling that way. I don't think it's the end of the road because a 10-team competition, they can make the six. But I think chasing Sydney at this point, you know, 10 rounds? What is it, nearly 30 rounds? 28 rounds
or
something?
Well, there's even a fair gap between, you know, Sydney and the rest and then Melbourne City and Newcastle and the rest.
It's 15 points that Victory have got to make up. That's if Sydney start losing every week. And they won't.
And they absolutely won't.
Yeah, I think Victory will claw their way back up and play better football. But at the moment, there's no fluidity to any of their gameplay and they're just taking too long to sort of transition back up front and allowing the opposition to get men behind the ball and clog it up, and they struggle with that. And Besar Perisha is not getting the sort of the space or the service for him to sort of turn and face goal and penetrate the way he normally would.
I was going to say, Berisha has escaped criticism, and I think probably fairly, but I'm going to change that. I think he's probably had...
I've heard you criticise him before.
He's probably had the worst start to an A-League season that he has in his career, Berisha. And I mean, I know he scored a couple, but body language, you know, the incident, you know, where he got suspended... I just think he's had the worst start of an A-League season.
And
I think that's systematic of Melbourne Victory.
Is it time to let him go?
Is it time to let him... Well... I haven't really thought that deeply.
You know, if they let him go, you know City will be after him.
Well, I don't think you'd be loath to let him go.
That'd because be a big you're not going to let him
That'd
go.
Be a huge
no,
call.
You're not going to let him go.
But he's certainly systematic of their problems. Body language.
He's always had body language issues. He's always
say,
had that.
What did I say, Rodrigo?
No, please continue.
Okay, no worries.
Did you say systematic? Yeah, that's fine.
Systematic?
I would have said symptomatic, but that's okay. I didn't want to correct you on air, but you made me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Systematic or whatever the other word he said was. I think Berisha, if he's not getting Kevin Muscat's thumb or any other finger...
Thrust into his breastbone.
To the breastbone.
Yep.
And saying, the clock's ticking.
You don't love me like you used to anymore?
No, I think he needs it. And I think he's got to start performing because if they are going to improve like you're confident they will, Vinny, it doesn't rest on one man. Because I'll tell you the other thing.
But can I just say, I don't think Muscat has to have that conversation with Berisha because Berisha would be his own harshest critic.
You know what?
Vinny, the big criticism right now is that Muskie doesn't shake it up and up. He gives the tried and true... those players there, they are in the team every week, irrespective, and there's this stench of
predictability
and complacency.
It's a stench.
I've been complacent before. No wonder nobody's stands near me.
Leroy George, that's his name, isn't it? Leroy George.
Yes.
He's the recruit of the year by a mile. He is the best first-year player in the competition this year without any question. Without
what about
peer.
Adrian Mizajewski from Sydney?
Not consistently. He's been injured in and out. whatever, showed a glimpse on the weekend. I don't really like bald guys, so that's another reason why I've not put him up there. But Leroy George has been the best, the most consistent.
And also, you don't like Polish guys either.
No, that's it.
He's just a bit racist against Polish.
For our listeners, Warren's bald.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
and that's harsh and unfair and incorrect.
Sorry, he's balding.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
The fact that Melbourne Victory have not been a better team and not performed better with Leroy George in that side is an indictment on everyone else. There's issues there. There is a stench.
What are the issues?
Well, Berisha's an issue.
Do you know the other issue? I
make
well,
any, make a call
I,
on him.
I don't know this, but the other thing that wouldn't I, look. I think that the Victory have had a really difficult start, and we've mentioned this before, just because of all the international duties various players have had. But I wonder because Troisi was, you know, didn't end the season last year. He was edging for a move out and they kept him. I wonder whether that... Because Troisi hasn't been the player we
it's
used to.
It's been too much Vinny, back to the well
it,
thing.
It is stench of complacency. Yeah. Come back.
There's too much back to the is. Back to the
you
well.
You've got to shake it up. But when you go to Adelaide, though, Rodrigo...
Even Milligan.
When you go to Adelaide,
see, Carlos is directing the traffic. Yeah.
There's nothing but love in Adelaide.
Well, let's have a listen to what Marco Kurz had to say.
It was a very... big victory for us, and first I must say congratulations for the boys. I love the boys. I love the squad. I think it is not easy to win in Melbourne Victory, but today we make the good job. The boys fight for the result, and yeah, now we are happy with the 3 points.
There's the Adelaide United coach, Marco Kurz, and with thanks to Fox Sports, loving his team.
He really, really loves his players. You don't hear Kevin Muscat say he loves his players.
you know what would have been a good line? Now, it's not easy to beat Victory, but tonight it was. That would have been gold.
Yes.
No one's making enough of a big deal around the fact that Adelaide had 9 men
at
the end for the last 10 minutes. And I don't know. Look, Paul Izzo had the game of his life, I know, but he probably had one or two saves in that last 10 minutes. They really didn't. They had a lot of possession, obviously, Victory, but they really didn't trouble Adelaide that much.
No, it was actually quite frustrating to watch in the end, but not because I'm a Victory supporter or anything, but they just didn't. They made no incursion.
No, it was as a Victory supporter, it was an extremely frustrating game to watch. Absolutely.
There you go. But congratulations to Adelaide. Hey, guys, we need to take a break and come back with more of the Four Diegos here on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the Four Diegos Soccer Show.
Hold the back page. Hold the front page. Breathtakingly brilliant. It's astonishing. It's absolutely world class.
The Four Diegos on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your company here on FNR Football Nation Radio with the Four Diegos. Don't forget 9944 9999. Give us a call and we'll give you a wonderful panettone celebrating the Christmas spirit here at FNR with thanks to our friends at Ital. They make the best panettone ever, and it's beautiful, butter enriched. It's quality Australian made panettone.
And trust us, listeners. Rodrigo would know that it's the best ever because he's pretty much spent the last period of time checking out every panettone that there is on the market.
By the way, Warren, he's more svelte than you these days. Mr. See? Marathon runner.
There you go.
Rodrigo, if it wasn't for the, parted hair, I really want you to part in the middle one day.
Look, I haven't had a haircut for 10 weeks. No. I'm at the end of a haircut cycle. I don't expect to be pilloried on air.
Yeah, if there's any hairdressers who love their football, can you just come in and do something with Rodrigo's hair? It's sad that a guy that's got a full head of hair like that is part of the side like that, Rodders.
It falls like that, Carlos. It just, I don't blow wave it.
Product, Rodrigo? Product?
Yeah. No product, as you can tell. Just grey. Just grey now. They're a bit coarser than the black hairs, so they don't do much. But anyway, 0428 933 345. If you've got a good head of hair, give us a call tonight on 9944 9999 and we will give you an Ital panettone. Hey, guys, we've been talking about the A-League, of course, with Sydney FC's thumping of Western Sydney Wanderers and Adelaide's defeat of Melbourne Victory. What about the draw in Brisbane in front of 5,192 people? There.
I watched that game. I won't get that 90 minutes back again. I won't get that 90 minutes back. And you've been, Carlos, you've been bullish about Brisbane all year.
I know.
You wanted to buy Brisbane. If we're going to do A-League stock market, which we should do on Thursdays, because that's a new segment coming up to me.
I'm selling at a loss, I know. But they never got
off the ground.
I was one away goal by Wellington from... foregoing my property portfolio.
You were too. Yeah. I remembered that.
You know, Carlos, I said go Bitcoin, not Brisbane, but you wanted Brisbane.
And Are you selling now?
So did you see that game? Did you watch the game?
I'd never get that 90 minutes back.
I have new respect for you because I did not watch that game.
It was played at Robina on the Gold Coast after a storm. Yeah. There were about 4.5 people watching the game.
Who made the decision to go back to a place where...
No, Paul McCartney made the decision.
Oh, okay.
Paul McCartney made the decision.
I'm just wondering, don't people remember Clive Palmer and Gold Coast?
No, Paul McCartney. The fact that no one
turned up to those games and no one's interested in football.
Are you now selling Brisbane?
Absolutely. I'm dumping Brisbane at a loss. If they couldn't beat Wellington. But by the way, did Wellington play any better?
No, they didn't play better.
No, okay.
No. It was just an ordinary game.
They played what they normally dish up.
Okay, but I'm
worried about Brisbane. If Wellington didn't play out of their skins Brisbane still drew with them,
it's real worry.
It's a worry.
Something's got to change there.
Yeah.
And yet they still sit above Melbourne Victory on the table. anyway,
Victory's actually playing better football than them. They can't win games.
They are definitely Vinny Venezuela.
Because of poor concentration.
Well, they can't concentrate.
Yeah. Once they start concentrating,
they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. Mm.
Yep. There's got to be some vitamin supplements and natural herbs and stuff that they can do. Maybe some, I don't know, aromatherapy.
There you go.
Lavender, they tell meditation. Me, is good for concentration.
Vinny, what it is meditation. Yoga and meditation will get them focused.
Oh, so you do yoga, you meditate, and you burn a bit of lavender at the same time and your concentration.
You know what will get them concentrating? Spot kicks. Of training.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I think incest in. Incense. Incense in the change room. Not incest in the change room, but incense
in
the change room.
Yeah, no, that's right. And, that'd be fantastic.
Can I clarify? That it's not incest. I'm not advocating incest.
No.
In the change room.
Stop saying the word incest, Carlos. You're making it worse.
Incest?
No. Shut up, Carlos. Incense.
Alex, I do morning breakfast here, guys.
This is the end of his show.
That won't hold up in a court of law, mate.
I'm allowed to make mistakes.
I'll defend Carlos. That's just a slip of the tongue.
So, which you're actually well versed in doing, Rodrigo. Can I say?
Well, that's not fair. Newcastle Jets defeated Perth Glory 2-1.
Can I just say...
Yes, you're on radio.
thank goodness for that. That Newcastle coming back from the dead in that game is a testament to their...
It's a sign, Vinny?
It's a sign. I think it's a positive sign.
What's a sign?
It's a sign that these people aren't going to give up. I know that they got lucky, particularly with the own goal, but it's that thing you look for, that they never say die.
They were coming back.
This is where Melbourne City were having problems once upon a time and we'd bag the bejesus out of them for not playing the full 90. Newcastle is a young squad and in fairness, they probably, Perth were all over them for most of the game, but they never really stopped trying to attack. They just weren't having that little bit of luck that you needed, and they just persevered. And I tip my hat to them.
Yeah, it's funny. I think Newcastle were good. Perth have been my Brisbane in terms of I've wanted to buy them all season. If you look at their current team, it's an absolute shadow of what their best team could be. No question, you know. But you just wonder if they're going to be able to get on a run or if we're going to have a typical Perth finish to a season where they come home with a wet sail and they make finals. Because their best is good enough, but being in front in that game, they should have been able to find a way of closing it out regardless of who the personnel in the team. I think Newcastle have made huge strides this year. They won't make the grand final this year. They're another year away, but they're building beautifully. And Ernie Merrick said it himself. I mean, this was highway robbery. I mean, this was going to the jewellery store and really smash and grab.
That's what teams who are successful do.
Yep.
They don't play well, but they win games.
Yep.
And they go away from home and win games like that.
And so that's going to be their challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a sign that Vinny's talking about. For me, you look for those sort of signs, and obviously they're showing that. Yeah. Newcastle Jets.
And winning in Perth is so hard.
And the sign for me too, to be fair to them, is they lost the previous week against Melbourne City, where they probably had enough chances to win four games. Yep. And didn't. And they could have dropped their bundle. They've gone away from home and they've done a good job. And you know what? The soccer gods have sort of reversed. They probably didn't deserve to beat Perth, but they did. And the week before they lost when they should have won.
And in the final game of the week, in the final game of the week, we saw Melbourne City defeat Central Coast Mariners 1-0. But before you get to talk about it, Warren and gents, on 9944 9999, we've got Marty from Bacchus Marsh. Wants to chat about Timmy Cahill. G'day, Marty, and welcome to the show.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, we're good, well. Mate. How are you going today?
Yeah, all right. I was just going to make a comment about Timmy Cahill's decision to leave City last week for more game time. Geez, that's paid off this weekend, hasn't it?
<That's> done. Genius.
he played a lot of minutes this weekend. Looks like he's going to get a lot of minutes this week. Last weekend. He looks like he's going to get a lot of minutes this weekend as well. I just can't believe it. I've been a massive Timmy fan. I'm an Evertonian. I've watched him play at Goodison. I love him, but I just can't fathom why he left the club to sit around for a whole month and do nothing when he wants to get more game time.
Marty, all it proves is the relationship between he and Warren Joyce completely, completely broken down.
And whose fault's that?
I'm not saying whose fault it is. Some people say, well, the coach has got complete... It's his domain. You don't want a cancer in the club.
Tim's a cancer.
Well, he could have been. He could have been in the change room agitating. Who knows what could have happened. But out-ski he goes, and he wins the game. I think the coach has won this round, irrespective of weather. And I would think that if Tim Cahill wanted to stay, he would have stayed. In fact, the word is he paid, $500,000 to get out.
Jeez.
To break the contract, so he was pretty desperate to get away.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed. I guess probably is the best word to describe it. I thought he would have given it a go and just hung out and at least waited till January and seen where it got him. But like you say, we don't know about the relationship between him and Joyce. But it must have been pretty bad if he had to go for the sake of not even playing at all.
You know? So, Marty, are you a City fan?
Yeah.
And are you frustrated that he hasn't been playing as much as you would like him to play, given that you followed his career?
Well, I rang up a few weeks ago. He really didn't have a lot of opportunities. At the start of the season, he was off on with the Socceroos. Then he sort of came back, got a start, got injured, then went to Honduras again, and then sort of it was a bit of a stop-start to the season. So I'm not sure he was even really given much of a, gave the season much of a go. There's still another, 17-odd games to go. There's plenty of time. Across Christmas, there's, plenty of games. I just think he bailed out too early, to be honest.
It's interesting, Marty, because in the confessional that he had with Daniel Garb on Fox Sports, he mentioned he mentioned that FFA Cup game after he'd come back from Australia. Melbourne City didn't play with a striker. He didn't play all the minutes for Australia. He comes back, he sits on the bench. They didn't play a striker. You probably get the impression that if there was a starting point for, the separation between Warren Joyce and himself, it really started right back then in the fact that he mentioned that specifically. And then from then on, and I agree with you, I got a sense that he started against Sydney when even Graham Arnold questioned the wisdom of him starting that game and the surprise of the fact that Joyce had started him, considering they were about to go off to play in the World Cup qualifier. So that was really interesting. And I suppose we'll never know whether if he was fit that night, he gets the equaliser possibly or whatever, and where does it go from there?
I don't think that would have been a reason for Warren Joyce to start playing him. If I thought they were actually managing him. That's why he wasn't playing as much. And, in fact, I thought he could put together 90 and 120 minutes for the Socceroos because they've been managing him. And I thought that's the only way. I mean, remember he came back to Australia because he didn't have the grind of a 50-game season. It was a 28-game season. He could have missed a couple of of games. He was going off with a I thought it was perfect build-up to Russia 2018. He's agitated here.
He has.
Tim Cahill's agitated. I think Warren Clearly. Joyce would have kept on playing him off the bench, this and that. I think that would have been enough to get him to the World Cup. But now that with the change of coach, I think this really throws everything up in the air. Because I knew if a foreign coach comes in, he might turn around and say, look, Timmy, I know you want to go to your fourth World Cup. I know you want to score in the fourth World Cup. I know you want to have the statue next to Mark Milligan and Pelé. I know you want all that, right? But I'm not going to play you because you're 38 years old and I'm not into any sort of sentiment or sentimentality here. So there's some real unknowns for Tim Cahill right now. And I think he's probably thought, well, if the new coach is coming in, I need to be playing. Graham Arnold will keep him in there. Tony Popovich, I think, will keep him in there. But a foreign coach, not necessarily so.
I think that's correct, Steve. Mm. I think that's right.
Hey, thanks for your call, Marty. Really appreciate it. Keep on calling on 99944 9999. Really appreciate that. Or send us a text message on 0428 933 345. What's our Twitter handle? FNR_radio. Radio.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you very much, Carlos.
Simple as that. I really like Melbourne City's performance. I thought to get through the week with the Tim Cahill stuff, they played really well in the first half, probably should have scored more, but found a way to get a result. And if Ross McCormack just looks short of a gallop to me, every time he just looks like he just
Are
needs...
Are you calling him chubby?
No, he's not. Well, by my standards, he's felt.
You're calling him puffy?
No, he gets...
Is he puffy or chubby?
He just looks short of a gal. I don't want to elaborate. You're looking to steer me into areas I don't want to go. I just think he needs a gallop.
Should he be doing light and easy endorsements?
Well, I would have thought.
Spit it out. What are you trying to say?
I think he needs a gallop. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think he'd be better second up than first up, but the problem is he's been playing first up for about however long and he doesn't look to have improved at all.
Is it enough?
Credit to him, equal golden boot.
Is it enough for him just to score from set pieces for the rest of the season?
No.
Is it enough for him to be in that team just scoring from set pieces?
Yes. I couldn't see...
Scoring being the key word.
I suppose it's really interesting now. There's money in the cap, you would think, some way that they'd keep him if they could. Just really depends to me, how Bruno Fornaroli comes back and how they can manage him and whether he's ever going to get back to full fitness in a season where he's done such a bad ankle. Because I would say the mechanics around Bruno Fornaroli defensively in the midfield, Fitzgerald's playing, you know, the best football he's played. I actually think Luke Bratton's getting back to really good form. I think the components for Melbourne City are really strong. Whether you keep McCormack into the end of this loan spell, really interesting one for me, and I think it's totally dependent on Bruno Fornaroli because you've got Brandan coming back and I'm not sure...
Not necessarily.
Oh.
Haven't you heard?
No.
There's rumours.
Is he agitating?
Well, I'm not sure whether he's agitating, but someone's agitating and he might be on his way. I'm just hearing little things.
It was like, if Tim goes, I go.
Yeah. But... It's amazing. You lose someone like Tim. To focus on Tim Cahill last week, and everyone's sort of talking about that. Is it going to derail the rest of the season? As soon as Timmy goes, they bring in Nathaniel Atkinson.
Is he the first Tasmanian ever to play A-League football?
No. Jeremy Walker was Tassie.
What about a Launceston? He's from Launceston.
I'm not sure where part of Tassie he's from.
He can play a bit.
David Clarkson come from Tassie. I mean, they've had some decent players come out of there. But the kid can play.
He can.
And apparently, I sort of inquired about him to people who actually recruited him to Melbourne's Heart/City. He's been there for 3 years, and they've always thought he was a gun. Always. So this guy, it wasn't just last night. This guy's been proving it for a while.
He was very good last night.
But he came in and played, didn't he?
But it's amazing how you can take away the whole Tim Cahill fracker with a young kiddie coming in and playing well. Everyone's talking about him. No one's talking about Tim. In fact, if you bring up Tim now, old news. So I think you got a good one there, Warren.
It was interesting, the goalkeeping situation too. They stuck. Golikovic was out. They stuck. And it really led to the goal. It was a really well-crafted goal, Melbourne City's goal in the end. And Ross McCormack, first goal from open play. He celebrated. It was a good goal. And to me, Melbourne City's performance has always been built around Taggart and Fitzgerald. If they play well offensively, and I think more...
Taggart.
No, sorry. Bratton and Fitzgerald, yep. and Mork is
What's
a good player this season. Kamau actually
out of favour all of a
sudden.
Yeah,
seemingly out of favour.
Started well. Well, he didn't start well.
Warren Joyce gave him a bit of a clip last week in the Newcastle game when he came off the bench and said, you know, I think he may have been in the maybe slightly ahead of himself early in the season because he was playing well.
Well, it doesn't help when the coach says after two games that I think he could play in the championship in England.
No, it doesn't.
Quote, unquote, Warren Joyce.
My head would get bigger.
It's true.
He's gone ahead of himself, young Kamau.
It's so easy to say that about the kid in front of himself. I'm asking the question.
Players go out of form. Players get injured and they lose confidence. It doesn't mean that they're ahead of themselves or anything like that. It's just so quick for people to say that. And if Warren Joyce is intimating that...
No, I paraphrased.
Oh, you did. Okay. So, sorry. Now you clarified it. There's no way he was meaning that.
No, it doesn't look like the type of person that would get ahead of himself. Looks like a humble young man.
Yeah, but Melbourne City is not playing with joy, though. There's no joy in that.
No, there isn't a lot of joy. There's more joy watching the Melbourne City girls play before the Melbourne City team myself.
True.
But you know what? I'll take boring wins, Carlos. There's been a lot of unsatisfactory losses over the journey.
So you'd prefer that?
No, and I'm not preferring it, Vinny. I'm taking it at the moment.
So as a City fan, like that, like City's winning games and they're doing what they need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But the football isn't really, you know, setting the world alight, but they're getting the job done.
Yeah, and I think...
I'm
happy with that. And I think at this stage, I mean, whatever you think of Warren Joyce, whether positive or negative about the decisions, the one thing he's done, he's come in and if they're going to have a culture and an identity... and you're going to play a certain way and we're going to build on it, he's certainly done that. So from a no-name guy that everyone was sort of thinking, you know, what's his credentials, where he's come from, he's changed the perception of the club. They're now a hard team to beat, which is good.
Yeah, but there's so many other elements to getting Melbourne City right. And all they've addressed is a competitive team and winning games.
It's the best place to start, Carlos.
No, it's true, absolutely true. But
they got to build
the
crowd.
Of flamboyance,
the lack
of everything else.
I think when Fornaroli comes back in, it'll be interesting.
I personally think for a club like Melbourne City, forget about everything else. Just concentrate on winning. Crowds, I mean, we've proved it with the Tim Cahill experiment. Crowds aren't just going to come because you've got a big name. You've got to start winning over a long period of time. And you then hope that people might gravitate towards you. But the idea that Melbourne City will ever bridge the gap between them and Melbourne Victory, they're so far off that.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. And they should not aspire to that in some ways.
No, they're just going to keep on winning. Hey, let's take a break now and win with our sponsors here at FNR, Football Nation Radio.
FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the 48ers Soccer Show.
Hold the back page. Hold the front page.
Breathtakingly brilliant. That's astonishing. It's absolutely world class.
The 48ers on FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Nice to have you along with the 48ers this afternoon. Don't forget 9944 9999 with thanks to Ital. You can pick up yourself a panettone, butter enriched, traditional fruit. Yummy. Rodrigo Rodriguez with you. Vinny Venezuela, Carlos Alberto Diego and Warren. Hey, Warren's got the EPL show coming up very, very soon. But we're going to talk a little bit of EPL now. Manchester Derby was run and won by Manchester City 2-1.
It was all Man City in the first half. Probably in the second half too.
It was De Silva and Otamendi scoring for City and Marcus Rashford scoring for Manchester United. Warren, what's a preview for your show this afternoon?
Well, no, I will say this. The gulf between Man City and everyone else in the Premier League is as big as it ever has been in any one season of the Premier League in recent memory. They're so much better in terms of the total package, coaching, personnel, style of play, ways to hurt you, people to score goals. They're so much better. And the thing is now that they're actually determined, focused and tough, genuinely tough. The last three games, two they've come from behind to win. This game they went to a really hostile environment in really ordinary conditions where the curse of the snoogs and the gloves may have got them in other years. It didn't get them. They are just outstanding. They could win. They can win anything. Anything they want to focus on this year, They can win.
I have to say, after they scored their goal, though, and Man U were coming at them late in the first half, they dropped their bundle a wee bit, and the goal that Rashford scored was...
But they get
back,
they get into the change rooms, Vinny. There's all their fists are together, their arms are in, you know, they're really, they're focused, they're going so well. They can win anything they choose to focus on. I think this year be Premier League.
Hang on. Champions League, you're saying that
it's a lay down. No. I didn't say that.
Well, the way you're going on.
I said they can win anything they choose to focus on. This year, it's clearly one focus. Give Pep his title, his domestic title first. And I think if you look at Pep, focus domestic and then go global.
Pep needs a Champions League. It's been too long.
It has, but he'll go domestic first, Vinny, and then he'll go global.
They'd like their chances of winning the Champions League. Do you think they over-celebrated, though, Vinny, Venezuela, after they think, do you think they showed Manchester United respect
at the end
in the tunnel?
No,
well, you know where I'm going with this.
The music's too loud. There's a rule, Rodrigo, in world football that when you win away from home, the volume of the music in your dressing room has to be, you know,
apparently they were playing Daryl Braithwaite.
Oh, no wonder Jose got a bit.
I'm with Jose. He stormed in about that.
Do you think that Man United have shown them much respect over the previous 187 derbies that there's been? No, they wouldn't have had any respect. You know what? I would have been playing horses. I would have actually, if I was Manchester City after that win in that venue, I would have flown Daryl Braithwaite over just so he could sing horses in the change room.
Well, you know there's reports of a dressing room bust-up after this game.
Fracker. And there was food thrown, wasn't there?
There was milk.
Milk.
Yeah, okay,
milk was thrown.
Okay, so it's not,
just full cream, it was actually soy.
There's several types.
But that shows you how focused. Yep. Normally you'd see champagne, but not Melbourne City.
Not Manchester City
this year. They're throwing milk. Milk, they're so focused.
Right. So, it's a modern day battle of the buffet, was it?
The buffet.
Yeah. It's not quite your pub fight, is it?
No.
You know. Anyway, but so even after the match, Jose was asked if they got lucky again. He said, "Probably yes."
He is bereft of any joy in his life, Jose. Oh. No joy. He lives in that.
He lives in that penthouse in
Manchester.
No, I tell you. The Jose Mourinho, pre-Real Madrid, he would have cared. He would have lost sleep over this.
He's taken the paycheck, Carlos.
He's paid off his houses.
I disagree, Carlos.
It doesn't mean as much.
No, he's in the shadow of Sir Alex.
He's taking his kids to school. I mean, all that sort of stuff. He does what parents do now.
He's a proud man. His kids go without him anywhere. They'll fly to Paris for a game. He's got something to prove. If he can't make it at Man United, it cancels everything.
I don't think it matters to him anymore, Vinny.
No, it does. He's a proud man, Carlos.
Yeah, I know he's proud, but I don't think it matters.
Manchester United.
He wanted this job.
They're in the middle of what Liverpool's been going through since Bill Shankly.
Who's this?
And Bob Paisley. Who? Man United.
Oh, how can you compare Man U to Liverpool? Really?
I beg your pardon?
How can you compare both?
I beg your pardon.
How can you compare both?
Hey, Warren, before we go, what's on your show tonight?
Me, Francis, Richard Bayliss from Optus Sport. Me again, a little bit more me, and then we'll finish the show.
Well, we want people to listen.
That'll get them switching
we'll cover
off,
all
Warren.
We'll cover all the games. We won't be Liverpool-centric. We won't be top four or five-centric. We'll be looking at everything from all angles, Rodrigo, all angles. 360-degree look at the Premier League.
360, is it?
It's my 360.
So yeah. Warren going solo.
We might do buy and sell
I
EPL teams.
I cannot wait to listen to this on the way home.
No worries.
That's it for this week's show. We're back on Thursday night, so remember, Cuddlosh.
We're a Puerto Rican girls hang out.
We'll be there. We'll have you Samba Rumba and La Bamba.
We'll be there.
Whether there are girls with fruit on their head and balls on their feet.
We'll be there.
Whether gringos play football.
We'll be there.
We are the 4 Diegos.
Goes on FNR, Football Nation Radio.